Welcome to Witnessing for Jesus today. My name's Ted Turner, and we are going to talk about the amazing words that God uses in the Bible, I am. Every time he has used those words, it just shows his authority and his power and his guidance in our lives. I know it's important that all of us become Christians, and as we study the Bible and we keep a clean conscience, make sure we've asked God to forgive us for our sins, I believe then that's when the Bible really gets into our heart and really helps us. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to realize that he forgives us for our sins and that we don't have to be fearful that he hasn't done it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And sometimes when the Bible mentions the spirit of fear, I believe it means a type of just overpowering fear like depression and things like that. So 2 Timothy 1 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them, we shall have them. I think that most of us think that as we go through life, we can say a few prayers here and there, but I think we actually need to think about directing our prayers towards God and towards this person that God is up in heaven. He says, I am a spirit. And they that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. So I think if you keep a clean conscience, you ask God to forgive you, don't get fearful that you're going to be well off in understanding the Bible. And today I want to talk again, as I said, about the words I am. In Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Wouldn't you like to have God come to you and say, fear not, I am thy shield? That means that you're protected from all sorts of things. I really feel that God means that for all of us, not just Abraham. He's our shield, and we have to ask him to help us, and we need to get up in the morning every day. And when we go to sleep, we need to say a prayer and say, God, please help me today. Thank you for all you've done for me. It says in the Bible that God's spirit is in the midst of those that ask for his help. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, I am there. And it also says, if any two agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. We have to remember that God is there and that he is helping us and that we have to get up and make these requests. We can't just assume God's going to come in our life and give us some things without us asking for what they are. But when he says he's our shield, that's something we need every day because we run into a lot of people that are very deceitful and very troublesome, and we need to ask God to help us. And it says also to Abraham at that time in Genesis 15:1, and thy exceedingly great reward. In other words, God rewards us. He rewards us in a great way. We can't even imagine how much he can reward us. So he expects us to do the right things. And ask, as we find here in a minute, he wants us to do a lot of things in his word. In Genesis 17:1, he said to Abram, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that is not easy to do, to have someone tell you to be perfect. But God told Abraham to be perfect. And you find as you study the Bible that God expected people to follow his rules. He doesn't want people doing things he didn't tell them to do. One time Moses was told to talk to the rock to get water, and instead of talking, he hit it with a stick, and God was upset with him. He didn't follow the rules. Sometimes what we say, what we do, some of our actions are not going to be those perfect ones that God wants us to have, like it mentions in 17:1. In 17:2 it says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. In other words, can you imagine God saying to someone, I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thee exceedingly? We all want that, so we all need to try to learn how to walk before God and be perfect, as it says in Genesis 17:1. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, As for me, behold my covenant, it is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Think of the things that happened to Abraham. He was really, really blessed by God, and God gave him many things. In Genesis 26:23, And he went up thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him that same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply the seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now this was Abraham's assistant, and he's being told the same things, that he has to do the right things and do the things that God wants him to do. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. God expects us to work with him and be the kind of person he wants to be. And then he'll do things for us. In fact, he may give us a dream, like in Genesis 28:2. One of the prophets said, And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it to thy seed. And thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. Wouldn't you like to be able to say, like God had just spoken to Jacob, that have God telling you that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you? Genesis 28:15, And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, sometimes God will tell us a lot of things, but almost every time he expects us to follow his rules and learn to be the kind of people that he wants. I don't think he works with people that don't want to have anything to do with him because they don't want to talk to him. So I don't think you get the blessings that you get when you really want to work with God. It says in Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowedst a vow to me. Now arise and get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Jacob had a lot of communications with God, and if we try to be the kind of people that we're supposed to be, God will bless us and help us to be the kind of people he wants to be. Genesis 35:9, And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall be called, not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Can you imagine God coming down and telling Jacob that his name's going to be Israel now? He changed his name. If God came to you and said, I want you to have a new name, you know that means a lot of special stuff. He's going to do all kinds of things for you. And if he wants to change your name, that means he wants you to give a different appearance to people around you. Genesis 35:11 says, And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a country of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, and a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on, and poured oil there on, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. Sometimes it's a good idea, if you feel God spoken to you, to mention that, the name of where you were at, so that you know where God spoke to you that day. Maybe it's at the grocery store. Maybe it's at some little convenience store. But you could refer to it as the day God spoke to me at the convenience store. And you just got to remember that God's there to take care of you, and he helps you in a lot of ways. Genesis 46:1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. And if God ever speaks to you in the night, or you have a dream, and he wakes you up, you need to say, Here am I. And just like it says in Genesis 46:2, and God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. In many places in the Bible, God says to fear not. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. In 1 John 1:9, it says, If we confess our sins, he was faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's very important to try to keep a clean conscience, and I think that helps your prayers to get through better. Genesis 46:4, Jacob says, I will go down with thee, well, it's Israel now, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up. Well, this is God speaking to him. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. God constantly tells people to do the things he wants them to do. And he often uses the word, I am. Now, in Exodus 3:1, the words I am are used later on after a few verses. But I'm going to read these verses. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Can you imagine that, to have a burning bush burning and it's consumed with fire and not consumed with fire, and it's burning in front of you? That would be an amazing thing. And this happened to Moses. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Here he is again saying, Here am I. We should do the same thing. We should say, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We need to give God respect. We need to show God that we respect him. And when he's talking to us, we need to be penitent, and we need to be the kind of people that would show a special respect and give glory to God whenever he does something for us. Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. Exodus 3:8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. Exodus 3:9 says, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children out of Israel. Sometimes in life, you are going to find out that God's sending you to help someone. They may be going through horrible things. They may be working a job, and they may not know how to change that job. It's very important that we go and try to help these people in whatever way we can. Try to console them. Try to talk with them. Try to help them to be better people. And we don't want to give up in doing it. We got to keep trying. Sometimes people have very terrible habits like drinking alcohol and maybe overheating. But whatever the problem is, we still need to work with them if God sends us to help them. Just like God was sending Moses to help the children of Israel. He didn't say no. He said, "Here am I." Exodus 3:1-1. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, Moses didn't think he could do this. But you'll find out through the Bible that God tells these people and his prophets and other people, he says, "Be of good courage, do not fear." Many times he says that, and we need to do that too. We need to be of good courage and do not fear. Just like 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Exodus 3:12 says, "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee." This is God speaking to Moses. "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, thou shalt go and serve God upon this mountain." Sometimes God will tell us, after we've done a certain thing, then he wants us to go and do one thing. It's like having a ceremony. It's like getting a birthright. At that time, God says, "You've done this now. Now I want you to go and worship and do some things here." And if he tells you to go do it on that mountain, and you do that, and you remember that he helped you to get through whatever the project was he gave you, and he expects you to do the things that you're supposed to do. Exodus 3:13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they'll say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And sometimes we wonder, you know, what it is that God's doing for us. Now we may ask him questions. In this case, Moses asked him, "What is his name?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And you know, in a way, I think what he's saying there is that he exists, I am. And sometimes you can't explain when you're like God, you can't explain to some people what you are, but you just need to know that he's there. Like, you want to walk out in the desert and you wonder, is God there? And he's already said, I am. I am. He's everywhere. If you ask, where is he? If he spoke to you, he'd say, I'm in the desert. I'm in the mountains. I'm in space. I'm on the earth. I am. Just remember, he's there. And all you need to do is sit down and pray and ask God for the things that you need. And he'll do that. Mark 11:24 says, "And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." So you have to pray, and you have to ask in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, "Whatsoever thou ask the Father in my name, it shall be done." We need to believe on these verses and try to stand on these verses and do the things that we're supposed to do and keep a clean conscience. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Exodus 3:16 says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done in Egypt." And Exodus 3:17 says, "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Sometimes we just get so frustrated we don't know what's going to happen, but God has promised to help us get through something. And I think sometimes when we go through difficult situations, the primary reason is because God is teaching us something. And when he's teaching us something, sometimes it's not easy for us to understand it or to know why we're going through this, but we still have to do the things that he tells us to do, and we have to be patient while God's teaching us. And we wonder sometimes, what's going to happen to these people that are doing bad stuff to us? Well, not always is something going to happen to them, because we're supposed to forgive them. But in Exodus 6:1, God says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land." Exodus 6:2 says, "And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord." There he is saying it again, "I am." He wants us to know that he's there. You don't have to worry about whether he's here. He is there. And he can take care of a lot of the problems in our lives today too. We just have to make sure we do the things we're supposed to, like go to church, get baptized, ask Jesus into your heart, ask him to forgive you for your sins, tell him you want to have the Holy Spirit in your life. Like it says in Acts 2:38, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is unto you and unto your children and all those that are far off." So we have to ask Jesus into our heart, and then we have to understand the Bible. And that's why I wanted to go through the Bible today and talk about the times when God says, "I am." Exodus 6:3. And God's talking to Moses, and he said, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And now God has given Moses a name to call him, which is going to be Jehovah. And it says, "I appeared," and that verse, Exodus 6:3, is where he first gave the name. And it says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty," where he said he was. That's where he said, "I am. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." Exodus 6:4, "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimages, where they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." God knows that you're in bondage. He knows when you have problems, whether it's addiction or whether it's a bad person at the office that you have to work with. God knows about these things, and he knows that you may be in bondage, and he's very likely got someone set up right there, ready to send there to deliver you from this. You may sometimes feel like, "Oh God, I'm going through this stuff, and it's just not over. It just keeps going on and on and on." And then we have to realize that, like Moses was being prepared to help the children of Israel, there's probably someone in the background being prepared to help you. You just have to trust God that he's doing this. Exodus 6:6 says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." Do you realize what God's saying to them? He's saying he's going to bring them out from under the burdens. The same thing can happen to us, but we have to trust the Lord and pray. And it says, "I will rid you out of bondages." And he says, and we have bondages like alcohol, like overeating. Those are the two I've mentioned so far. Maybe it's speeding or not driving your car right. But those bondages, God can break those, and he can help you. And it may be some other kind of addiction. And he said, "I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." In other words, when they stretched out an arm in the Old Testament, it often meant that there was a battle going. Sometimes someone would hold up the arms of the head leader until the battle was over. And when an arm is stretched out, that often means that there is a battle. It's pointing in the direction sometimes of where the battle is. And he says, "And with great judgments." In other words, sometimes God is the judge. It's like he's a law, like a judge like we know now. And when he judges something and he says, this is bad for my people, he's going to do something about it. And we have to just trust God when we're going through this, that in the background he's working and helping someone to get ready to come and help us. Exodus 6:7 says, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning that which I did swear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it for an inheritance, for a heritage. I am the Lord. Look at all the things he's doing. He says, I am, I am, I am. He's going to do all these things for Abraham, Moses, Isaac, and Jacob. And he'll do the same thing for us, but we have to put our trust in him. Exodus 6:27 is when Moses was sent to talk to Pharaoh. And the following is the conversations relating to this. Exodus 6:27. These are they which speak to Pharaoh, king of Israel, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. Moses had an assistant called Aaron. And it came to pass in the day when the Lord spoke unto Moses in the land of Egypt. Exodus 6:29. Then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Israel, all that I say unto thee. In this particular instance, he's telling Moses, don't tell him half of it. Tell him the whole thing. He said, speak thou unto Pharaoh, the king of Israel, all that I say unto thee. Many times we try to skip those little things in life, like when it says all, we may think, oh no, I don't have to do all that. But if God told you to do all of something, then you need to do all of it. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, in 7:1, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be the prophet, thy prophet. Exodus 7:2, and thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Sometimes when God sends us to speak to someone, they're not going to change right away. Their heart will be hardened, and they'll do worse things to your family or to your church or to your group. But you have to keep praying, because once God really sends judgment on them, like he said earlier in some of the other verses we read, they're going to finally get to the point where they're going to know that they don't have any choice but to do the things that God wants done. In Exodus 7:4, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. You see, God's bringing judgment on Pharaoh. And eventually he's going to bring him out, and God knows that he will. And God's going to keep doing these things until he does it. Exodus 7:5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand out of Egypt, bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. It's very important as we go through life that we do the things that God wants us to do. We need to listen for the wind in the tree, the still small voice of God. And if it's something that keeps coming to you over and over and over and getting in your heart that you're supposed to change something, then you need to work on that thing. You need to try to hear the voice of God. Try to get the help of God. And if you're ever going somewhere and you just really feel bad about that trip, you should just stop going on that trip, because that might be God speaking to you. Maybe it's not God speaking to you. Maybe it's because you're trying to remember something that you knew you shouldn't do on that trip. But if you have a really bad feeling about something, you probably shouldn't do it. Don't let somebody talk you into something that you don't feel right. Like if you're at work and someone says, let's go over to this restaurant, I want to get a drink. And you say, well, I don't drink. And immediately you start thinking, this isn't the kind of thing my pastor would want me to do. then you need to think about the fact that you shouldn't do it at all. Give them a reason. Tell them you're not interested. You don't have to tell them all the details. You can just say, well, I'm not really interested in doing that today. I think I'm just going to go over to the sandwich place and get myself a turkey sandwich or chicken sandwich or something like that. You don't have to give them any details. Just tell them that's what you're going to do. And if they say, well, let me tag along, you can do that. But remember, that person has already shown you that they're not interested in following the rules of God completely. Because if they're going to drink or get drunk or something like that, you don't want to be part of that. You want to be able to teach that to your kids to not do those kind of things. You need to learn that God is the one that says, I am. He's the one who led the children of Israel out, and we'll study this some more next time. He made Pharaoh finally give up his control of the children of Israel and let them go, and they got out and they crossed the sea and God parted the waters. Those kind of things can happen to you. They may not happen exactly the same way, but God can help you. He can protect you. He can part those waters and help you to get through. And I just want to thank you for listening today, and I want to thank you for being a Christian, and I want to thank you, all of you out there that are listening to me, that you're trying to find God and trying to touch Him. And that means, remember that you ask Him to come into your heart. You've asked Him to forgive you for your sins. You've tried not to be fearful. You tried to do things He wants you to do. Well, now you need to show that. Just like it says in James, he said, show me your faith by your works. He wants us to do something. In other words, we need to do something. We can have faith, but we have to have some works to show for it. In other words, we need to be reading our Bible. We need to be talking to people when we can. Not obnoxiously. I've heard people talk obnoxiously to people that weren't Christians or they had were dressed funny or something like that. That never really brings any good to anyone when you talk that way. If somebody's a lot different than you are, you don't need to be obnoxious to them. Just be polite to them, and they'll probably be glad that one person was polite to them, because so many people are obnoxious to them because of the way they look. And remember to do things with your family. Not just go to church, which you should do. You need to make sure you go to church. Go to several meetings of the church. Make sure you help support that church. And make sure you take your kids. And if they don't have money to put in the offering, do like my mother did. She used to give us some coins. She would give us money to put in the offering if we didn't have any. Just so we would learn that that's going to be a blessing to us. Because when you donate to the church, God blesses you because of it. There's so many things you can do, but you need to start studying the Bible yourself. And then you'll be able to say, life is really worth living. It is. It's so worth living in the name of Jesus. And everything you do, say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, say that. And thank God that when you get home, you didn't get in a car accident today. Thank Him for everything you can. Say your prayers in the morning and at night. Thank you for coming today. You have a good day. This is Ted Turner for Witnessing for Jesus. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the victory. Have faith in God.